Dude, my dick looks solid. Can I show it to you?
Show Jasper. Show Jasper.
I'll check it out.
I've done some really gay shit.
Have you ever butt chugged?
I'm up for it if you want to do it.
I do love you.
I've gotten into a lot of fights, dude. I thought there were times Rogan was going to punch me. I have a stereotype about black people.
Oh, what the f***?
They can fall asleep easy as f***.
I was just talking about this.
Have you ever seen a gay porn?
Yes.
Okay. I didn't think he was going to say yes.
I didn't think he was going to say yes either.
I come up with the title and you tell me the show.
What's the show title?
Name of the show is called Kid Catcher.
So if you guys want to have more fun at your games, watching your games on Sundays, Mondays, and Thursdays, download Better, play Better Picks 100 times multipliers, and we're matching deposits up to $100. We just passed a big competitor. Our app is way better. It's crushing it. Go have fun. Better Picks.
So I'm in Serbia. I'm filming my movie. I'm depressed. And you're just starting the whole Floyd Mayweather rip the hat off thing.
Okay.
You and your brother do a vlog. Their mom's on the plane with them. You're in a private jet. Your brother's mad that you stole his thunder.
Yeah.
And you look over him on the jet. And I'm sitting in my room by myself at 3 in the morning. You guys just posted it. And you look at your brother and you go, I'm sorry. And he goes, I love you. And then you reach over and you steal his fucking hat. And I fucking went, that's my guy. That's my fucking guy. That's my sense of humor. And this, fuck yeah, baby.
Let's fucking go.
What the fuck? You're supposed to be up top.
Oh, treetops, baby.
Treetops.
Low profile handshake.
You guys are fucking crushing it over there.
Dude, I really love this guy.
This is fucking awesome.
What a way to start the episode.
Indeed. You look good, man.
Thank you.
Get in shape.
I don't know what to say to
What's
that.
What's the secret?
Keto and not drinking.
Keto's very fucking
Are you sober?
Hard.
Yeah, I've been, well, not California sober.
Yeah, okay.
Like, I smoke
But
weed.
You're not drinking at all.
No, I haven't drank in, like, I don't know, feel like 50 days or something.
Wow, congrats.
Yeah, and I've been in ketosis for 50 days.
Wow, That's so crazy. Today's your first day back drinking. Congratulations.
Oh, thank you. Thank you very much.
Can we get this man on?
4 Moscow Mules.
You look like a whiskey type of guy.
I'm a everything kind of guy.
Okay, yeah.
Dude, I fucking like all of it.
Have you ever butt chugged?
Hang on. Let's back this up. So there is drinking alcohol out your ass. Like, you can put it up your ass, you get the same high. You know that, right?
Do you get higher?
Yeah, and you've got to be careful because you can't regulate the amount of alcohol that goes into your asshole blood vessels, so you can get really fucked up and die. This is real. Google it. I point to the hot chick.
Google it.
I'm not looking at these guys. They're watching fucking Major League Baseball betting on fucking overs.
Yeah. Fucking handshake
Fucking
bets.
Nerds. Who would do that? Yeah, betting on overs.
So you can do that. Now, in college, we used to do a thing called an anal chug, which was how you proved your love to another brother, which I would
Whoa.
Think...
I don't love my brother.
Hold on. I'm up for it if you want to do it.
I do love you.
You do a handstand up against a wall, dick facing the wall, because it's not gay, right? Mm. Dick Ooh. Facing the wall, totally naked, and then one person pours the drink into the asshole and then holds the cup at the nape of his back.
How is the asshole open?
Your legs are up in the air. So you're doing a handstand. Your legs are up in the air on a handstand, dick facing the wall, and you pour the beer into his asshole and it drains into the cup. And then you do the other one, and then you prove your loyalty to your brother by drinking an anal chug.
You did that.
Fuck yeah, dude.
Wow.
I've done some really gay shit.
Well, you spent 7 years in college,
yeah,
right?
I've done some shit where you'd be like, no, that is gay. What? Like, I told a story to my daughters one time, and they're like, I think you were molested.
What was the story?
But it's like, I bet you probably, like, just weird shit, because you grew up a regular life as a kid.
You grew up in fucking Ohio.
Yeah, Ohio's Midwest. So, like, the big kids would come into our neighborhood and hunt us and with BB guns in Florida. And then my daughters are like,
Florida shit.
That's Florida shit. Yeah. And then she's like, what happens when they caught you? I go, just casually, I was like, oh, they put ice cubes up your asshole. And my daughters are like, I think you were molested. I go, no, they did it to all of us. It was those old crescents.
I think all of you guys were molested.
No, it's cool, man. It's not molestation if it's 5 of you.
Mm. Well, that's 5 molestations. Mm. Is there like a term for like a flock of molestations?
I think it's called a choir. Yeah. That's what they call them, a boys choir.
It's called church.
Wait, that's a really funny fucking joke that only you got. Yeah, it's called a choir.
Oh, wow. Yeah, you guys, you're from a really weird fucking place, Pennsylvania.
Pennsylvania, yeah.
Where are you from in Pennsylvania?
Northeast. Not Scranton. I say Scranton because people watch The Office, but it's like a town of 3,000.
Like Shane Gillis, trash Pennsylvania?
Yeah, yeah.
Ooh, those are
I
fucking scary
I was one of the
people.
Darkest people in the whole town.
Do you know Amish people can't get autism?
Really?
That's not true.
That's true. That's true. Wow. Google it. Where's the hot check?
Really? No, yeah. It's because they don't get vaccines.
No shit. Hey, did you guys get boosted?
Okay, I have a theory also, and that's crazy. I live by it. That's and crazy. You know this. I don't believe black people can get pink eye. I've never gotten pink eye, and I've proven this.
Well, it would be hard for it to turn pink.
No, my eyeballs are white, you fucking thin hair bitch.
Wait, hold on.
I just want to set the stage. Welcome back to BS. We just
wait. I love this. Brand new stereotypes. I have a stereotype about black people.
Oh, what the fuck?
They can fall asleep easy as fuck.
I was just talking about the
fuck. Yes.
He falls asleep all the time.
All the time. Okay, it's like they're not even trying.
I wanted to tell you something, and it's actually, I felt bad because of how it was going to come out. But last night, me and my friends were looking for a movie on Amazon Prime, and The Machine, ironically, is in the fucking, like, top 10 popular.
Yeah, and thank you.
I watched it, and unfortunately, I fell asleep, but not because...
That's okay. I fell asleep during it, too. I fell asleep, too.
It was really interesting, but I'm black, and I have narcolepsy.
Hey, guys, shout out. This is the global challenge. If you can find a black guy asleep watching The Machine, send it to me. I'll repost. Dude, brothers, I was on a flight next to Common one time, right, out of Chicago. This is where I came up with my stereotype. And Chicago is a pretty black city, and we're leaving out of Chicago. I'm in first class. It's Common. This is like old school when like Fame was a fucking legit thing, right? This is Common. I want to get a picture with him. I want to say hi. I want to do something. This motherfucker fell asleep on the tarmac leaving Chicago. Worst turbulence of my life. I took a Xanax and drank nonstop. We land, and he has the balls to look at me on the tarmac in LA and go, have we taken off yet?
Wow.
Motherfucker. Wow. You walk on a plane, every black person's asleep like it's a Stephen King novel. Like, they're all asleep.
That's how I am. They kind of make fun of me for it, but I think it's a luxury.
Dude, I wish I could sleep like that. You realize I have like a machine I have to sleep with.
Oh, I'm...
I'm a bulldozer. I have to take hella melatonin just to fall asleep, and it still doesn't even work. I shake that shit off. But once I fall asleep, I'm like out.
Yeah. I've been sleeping really good lately when I quit drinking. Well, not quit. I don't like that word. But like when I stop drinking, I sleep like crazy good.
Are you an alcoholic?
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't think so. But I don't, and I've had people assess me as not. I don't have a problem not drinking. I don't have a problem being sober. I like impulse. Yeah. Like, I like the fun. You know, when during the pandemic, when all y'all started moving and everyone started doing shit, like, Schultz moved down to Miami. I think you guys moved to Puerto Rico or whatever. Yeah. I'm married with two kids. I got really depressed because I was like, I want that. I want the newness. I want the fucking, the sparkle in life where you get to explore a new city and be like, dude, this is where we're fucking living. Mm. I love shots. I love when people are like, out of nowhere, when they're like, we should do shots. And you're like, shut the fuck up. Like, I love the impulse of life. So I wouldn't say like I've seen alcoholism. Yeah. It's pretty sad when people have no control over it. Mm-hmm. It's rough to watch. I don't have that, but I don't got the other thing either. I don't have the Andrew Huberman can have two drinks a week thing.
Yeah, I don't believe in that.
I don't get that.
I don't believe in that balance. I recently just found out my dad was an alcoholic for all 22 years of my entire life and every waking moment I spent with him. And I just realized that recently.
Wait, how much did he drink? Did he drink in the mornings?
He drank at any moment he could swallow. As soon as his eyes opened, he would drink. And I realized there was like not a single thing that I was doing.
Yeah, but brothers get alcoholism differently. It's like
brothers. What's so crazy?
Black guys are different, man. You guys can do coke for a really long time and not have a problem with it.
I wasn't a coke guy. I was a Molly guy, ecstasy.
Really?
And I was rolling for like 12 hours a day, so you might be right.
Yeah, but brothers, man, I've done coke with a lot of black dudes. We snort coke differently. So the first time I ever did coke with a black guy,
I have a story about this too.
Wait, you tell your story first.
Well, it was
holy fuck! I knew it.
Which I know you have a story about too.
Shout out to he's a fucking legend, dude. Yeah. We ended up back to back in a bar in New Zealand, challenging everyone to a fight.
Wow.
Yeah.
Did you guys fight him or
we went table to table? I'll take all you motherfuckers. He did the dudes. I did the girls. And then we went back to back.
You were fighting girls.
I was challenging them. I was like, stand up. One girl was big as fuck. She was big as fuck, and she drank a lot. We got fucked up. We ended up in a bar in New Zealand, and there's this old Steve Harvey clip of him talking about his love for his wife, Audrey. And it's my favorite clip. And I had talked about it, and I thought he was doing that. Steve Harvey's like, in the clip, he's like, I'll kill every motherfucking fucker in here for that woman right there. And stood up and he goes, I'll kill every motherfucker in here. And I thought he was doing that. I started doing the quote to him about Steve Harvey. And then we just challenged everyone in the bar. And everyone's like, I'm not going to fight. And then I don't know who his fucking lawyer is, but his lawyer is shirtless and he's fat as fuck. But yeah, yeah, wait. Yeah, definitely bleep his name out.
Yeah. Yeah. Do we have to do that?
Yeah, probably. Yeah, that's that might
no,
be
most
that might
definitely.
Be trouble. Yeah. Why? Use your imagination. It's
I actually
bro, he just got a fucking like he's trying to hide this shit.
Yeah, what? You're the only one in here that can fight, so well, we're gonna all say like, "Yeah, bleep his name out."
You guys want to get your ass beat? Dude, all right, well, bleep his name
when
out.
When was the last time you got your ass beat?
By me,
never.
By me,
I've never gotten my ass beat.
It sucks so bad. Have you ever been beaten up?
No.
Have you ever been beaten up?
I got brother. Yeah, yeah, yeah. By my big brother. Yes.
No. Not big brother. That doesn't count. I'm talking. Go to the hospital. Another man. Took your manliness from you and you woke up on a floor and people looked at you with sad eyes and they're like, you were knocked out, man.
That's
and
then crazy.
You, oh, it fucking sucks.
What happened? You got into a street fight?
I've gotten into a lot of fights, dude. I talk shit.
When
I talk
you're drunk.
I thought there were times Rogan was going to punch me. Like, I talk wild shit. I like it. That's what I love about you. But you seem to back your shit up. I love dudes that get out over their skis. I love Dion. I love all that shit. That's why I love Izzy, man. I love that. And that's why I love you. It's also why I love Nate Diaz, the Diaz brothers. Yep. I love them because of that shit. That's why I love Connor. I love all that. But I was the guy that did it and then just couldn't back it up. And I fucking talk shit.
I need to know when's the time that you thought Rogan was gonna fight you?
Oh, a million times. I've had you a million times. First Sober October. I thought he was like livid with me because I was challenging. I was talking shit. He did this video. I thought it was funny. He did a video where he was like, Sober October. You know, it's Joe. He's all positive. I'm out here. I'm really getting after it on the hills. I'm doing 2 miles. And I got my dog, Marshall, with me. What's up, Marshall? So I did a copy video. I was like.
You're a dickhead. That's so funny, though.
I go, I saw you, Rogan. I saw you do 2 miles. Every 2 miles you do, I do 4 fucking miles. And I brought my dog, too. Priscilla, well, fuck, where's my dog? I thought it was a joke, right? All Rogan heard was, you do 2, I do 4. Rogan goes, fuck it, I do 10. Yeah, and then the next day, I think he did like 20 miles of just fucking running on treadmills. And I was like, wow. And then he stopped talking to me. And then he was like, he said, there's videos of like, he's like, yeah, I had to stop doing Sober October because of Bert. Like, I don't know if I would get in his head. I don't want to say that, but you could definitely feel the energy. I remember one time I said to him, I could do a split. I've never been able to do a split, but I liked the look in his face when I said I could do it. And he goes, no, you can't. And I go, absolutely. And he can definitely do a split, right? He's a man that's been able to do a split his entire life. So I started doing it. And he thought for a second I would do it. And that look was fucking hilarious. And then he goes, wait, you can't do a split. And I go, yeah, no shit. And he goes, what made you think you could do a split? And I was like, I don't know. Fuck it. I'll blow out my fucking traps. I'll blow out my quads to do a split.
Do you find yourself in that situation often where you speak before you actually think? Like you promise something?
Yes.
And does that come with being a comedian where it's like you?
Dude, my only goal is to lighten your day. I'm not you. I'm not going to prove anything. I can't. I have nothing to prove. Well, last thing I proved, I told Rogan I could run a marathon with no training.
Oh, wow. You're out of your fucking mind.
I did it. No training. LA Marathon, 5 hours, 33 minutes and 33 seconds.
That's impressive.
Wow.
No training. And
what was the farthest you ran before then?
5 miles.
Wow.
Yeah. And so I was like, fuck it, I could do it. I know that there is the thing that David Goggins, Cam Haynes, and Jocko preach of like, mind over matter. Mind over matter is a fucking thing. People, the Trail of Tears, they marched the Indians from fucking, or Native Americans, so my bad, from like Tallahassee to fucking Kansas City. That happened. I mean, yeah. You'd be shocked what they've done, to what people can do. So I was like, yeah, I can do it. I can fucking definitely do it. But I just love it. Tom Segura is my best friend. He casually one day said, I've been taking tennis lessons. I was like, I'll fucking kill you.
I heard you're actually a good athlete, though.
I am. That's the sneaky thing. I cannot fight for
He's
shit. For real.
Build.
You got the Tyson Fury build.
Yeah. You see Ngannou talk about that?
No.
Don't trick me. I know you're not fat.
Yeah.
It's like a Dodge Caravan with like a Hellcat engine in it. Yeah. Like, it's like sneaky, sleeper build.
If you get like, I went out to my high school batting practice. I was doing the Amalie Arena in Tampa, and I came out to say hi to the kids. And they're like, come on, Mickey Mantle-Gene, hit a home run. And so I got up, I hit a fucking home run at 50 years old. These kids were like, shut the fuck up. Yeah. It's like, it's. I'll tell you what, bro energy is cool as shit. When you get a bunch of like 17, 18-year-old boys yelling at the top of their lungs, let's fucking go.
You sound so much like a man that spent 7 years in college.
Dude.
He said bro energy is bro so
energy?
Sick.
Bro energy? Let me tell you something. I'm being dead fucking serious. You throw a fight club in Puerto Rico, a legit fight club, with a bunch of celebrities, the way they do Beer Olympics, the Bustin' with the Boys does Beer Olympics. You ever seen that?
No.
What the fuck is Beer Olympics?
Dude, it's one of the funnest times I've ever had in my entire fucking life. Yeah. It's now look, I got two girls. They're both like 17, 19. Like, I'm married. I'm a regular person. But man, when you tap into bro energy, they do this Bustin' with the Boys does this Beer Olympics every year, where they do it in Nashville. They invite a bunch of pro athletes. All offensive linemen, quarterback, everyone, MMA fighters, everyone to Taylor Lewan's house, and they drink beer all day long and they do beer drinking games. And it is the most lowbrow, broiest fucking slap you in the dick, punch you in the balls, fun energy. And it wakes you up. It wakes you up and you come out like, fuck yeah, I forgot I'm a man. Like, I forgot that another man, like, me and Shane Gillis got into a wrestling match with these dudes. They're athletes, man. You know, I don't know this, but, like, most people watching don't know. When an athlete grabs you, they're used to touching people. They don't fucking fuck around. And, dude, me and Shane left, like, punching each other in the dick. Like, that was fucking awesome. Yeah, yeah. Like, it's just awesome, dude. Do a fight club in Puerto Rico. I'll come down in a heartbeat, get my ass kicked.
I want to go to this Beer Olympics with you.
Done. Bustin' for the Boys, I guarantee you there's an invite coming to you next year. You can be my partner.
Let's fucking go.
Dude, it is. And you're dealing with like legit champions, Hall of Famers. And I only say this and I apologize. No disrespect, but I say it to you because you are a legit athlete. But when you see an athlete click over and go into let's fucking go mode, you're David Bakhtiari, he was a lineman for the Packers. Dude, that guy killed three beers in under 4 seconds, and his eyes were glazed over. I was sitting next to the guy who won it. He was on the phone with his wife, and she said, bitch, I didn't send you there to lose. Bring back the fucking trophy. They're married to savages. They're savages, and it is to be around that energy for a fucking day is exhilarating. It's invigorating, and it reminds you have a dick. I didn't sit down to piss for like a week after that.
Bro, I thought I was missing something. You're talking about drinking beer like it's a fucking Olympic sport.
Yeah, I thought there was like something in between it. Like.
Fucking just drinking
beer. Oh, there's no like actual like.
Oh, they get in the. Well, dude, they're all animals. So you get in the pool. We got in the pool and me and Shane were fighting Will and Taylor. And they were manhandling us. And I looked at Michael Chandler and I was like, Michael, help us. He did not fuck. He went in and I think he grabbed Taylor's dick until Taylor let go of me. And then he grabbed onto him. It's fucking.
It sounds more like an orgy.
Dude, you get bros together. That's what you get.
Start dumping beer in each other's buttholes.
Dude, it's fun. I mean, it's like this shit. You know, it's like, you know, it's a little bit of fantasy fulfillment. Especially like
this sounds gay.
It's not gay. You should watch a gay porn. Gay porn is totally different.
You should.
Have you ever seen a gay porn?
Yes.
Okay. I didn't see.
I didn't think he was gonna say yes. No,
he said yes.
Let him explain it.
I'm not explaining the gay porn, but
no. Explain why.
Seems like something you should explain.
I can't. I've just seen it, and it's gay.
No.
And now wait, I look gay wait, for
but,
saying I've
hold
seen
on, it. But no, also, no. Bert, wait, you're I, saying all this, but your toenails are painted.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm like,
them bitches is nice.
They're beautiful, dude. I think as old as I am, I'd hate to find out I was gay now because all my franchise playing years are behind me. Now I'm just the old dude jacking off in the corner to hot boys, like, slower, take his shirt off.
I don't know if we can speak on this. I don't know if it got cut, but Chris, your buddy Chris DiStefano, actually said that around your age is when he plans on switching to that. I don't know. Really? Is that something that we cut out or did we leave? That was in the episode. Yeah, he said that around.
Yeah, Chris
around 50,
is like a quarter gay.
Yeah.
Yeah. You hang out with him enough and have enough antihistamines. Yeah. Little white wine.
Can you elaborate on like a quarter gay? Like, is it like physical or is it just like verbal?
I don't know. This is a good, like, you know, there's a spectrum. There wasn't a spectrum when I was growing up. Like with your childhood, there's a spectrum. I don't think someone being gay is as shocking as it was when I was a kid. No one was gay. Now everyone's pretty gay. I think the spectrum is like, I look at like let's just talk about like clothing. I wish I could wear chicks' clothing. I would love to wear a dress everywhere. Mm. I fucking no underwear, just a dress. I'd love that shit.
Free balling in a sundress?
How great. I mean, they do it in the middle, in fucking Egypt. I think everyone wears sundresses.
Yeah. It's kind of like skinny dipping. Have you ever been outside naked? Yeah. It's really good.
It's fucking awesome.
Really good.
It's fucking, dude, being naked is awesome. But yeah. I wasn't raised to be naked. I was raised to wear underwear, to wear pants. Like, I don't wear underwear
now.
Yeah,
like every other human in the
world. No, I don't. But when I walked away from underwear, that was like the best day of my life.
You don't wear underwear right now?
Always, always.
Wow.
Everyone goes, what about your zipper in the dick?
It doesn't happen.
No, my dick's like a thumb.
Yeah, freeballing is good. And I said this in Puerto Rico. I did like 2 days freeballing because I didn't have any clean underwear.
Yeah.
And it is really good.
It's
is really good.
Awesome.
So you'll freeball in like some Wrangler
jeans.
Well,
you can't freeball because it falls into your shoe. But but I can freeball because it's up here. How big's your dick?
It depends on the day.
You look like a dude with a thick dick.
And so I recently lost a lot of weight.
I know,
and
you look good.
And I searched. Thank you. You
no, I backlogged all the podcasts. You've lost weight. Downloaded them on YouTube, wow. And I watch them on flights.
Oh, thank wow. you, man.
Yeah. You on DeStefano, I almost got concerned because your eyes were fucking red. And I was like,
yeah, everyone thinks
you're
shrooming.
And I was like, well, he's on an edible. And then I texted Chris and he goes, no, he licked a toad. He was on toad venom.
Oh, no, he misunderstood. He wasn't currently on toad. We were just saying that he does it frequently. But he was sober.
You were laughing so fucking
no,
hard.
No, I think I had like a couple of mimosas that morning.
Ah, there it is.
Ah, on the way there. Yeah. And I was just in like a funny ass mood. I was like rolling down my window on the way to the episode, like taking pictures of people and telling them they look like celebrities and being like, I love you so much. Oh my God. And I'd be freaking out. And all these like random people would be like, what the fuck? Like, what the fuck's wrong with this kid? But I want to flip the script. Like, that's people crazy. Are always bothering me, like, Jake Paul! Oh! And they start filming me. So I was like, fuck this shit. I'm flipping the script. I'm going to start filming everybody else. Put them in the uncomfortable situation.
My buddy Eddie used to, when we were young in Hollywood, he'd go up to hot chicks and ask for their autographs. they'd go, sure. Brave. And then he'd sign it, and he'd go, who are you? And they go, nobody. And he goes, well, why the fuck did you do that? She's like, I don't know. He's like, ugh, and he'd throw away in front of him.
I was just telling Brandon about this thing I used to do when I was a kid. Like when we would go to Myrtle Beach for spring break, we would like drive up to a stoplight, and at the crosswalks, a bunch of people are driving by, and there's usually like good looking girls with some guys. So I'd roll down the window and be like, hey, can I have your number? Just like in the general direction. And the girls would always go, no, no. No, and I'd be like, I'm talking to him, hey. And they would feel so sick, like, damn.
Okay, ninth grade, I'm at a party at Chris Harrell's house, and everyone's in the front yard, and these, like, seniors in high school pull up in, like, a Trans Am right in front of the party, and they're like, yo, and they point to me, and I'm like, yeah, and they go, come here, and I go, hold on, guys, and now, like, all these seniors are there. I'm in ninth grade. I walk down, I go, what's up, guys? And they're like, nothing. Hey, man. And then the guy at the top of his lungs goes, no, I won't let you suck my dick. And then takes off. And then I turn around. I'm like, nah. I've tried that so many times. I never got the response that guy got.
That's fucking good. That's
a good one. That's a good one to do at a party. Just lower the radio and go, no, I won't let you suck my dick. It's a good one. That. And what was the – I was just about – oh, fuck. My brain's fucking fried these days.
Yeah.
I got to stop smoking weed.
You and us all.
How much weight have you lost?
Like 50 pounds.
God damn. Does it feel good?
Yeah. I actually searched up, does your penis grow when you lose weight?
It does.
Yeah, it does.
Wait, what?
It does. Yeah. My dick looks so good right now.
I thought I had a massive dick.
I thought you said it looks like a thumb.
No. Right now. Like... It's, no, it's just because it's calloused and it has a nail on it. But that's why it looks like a thumb. I don't know what I do with my phone.
It's calloused.
Yeah.
I don't fucking have any. Why are you asking a brother? Ask him.
No, where's my wallet? No. Dude, my dick looks solid. Can I show it to you?
Show Jasper.
You should show him your dick.
I'll check it out.
What did you figure out on Google? So if you weight.
Because I was beating my shit, and I was just like, this thing, I thought I had a big dick when I was fat. And I was like, this shit is fucking massive.
I was jerking off the other night, and I could see it past my stomach, and I went, okay, well, the fuck? I was like, this is nice.
Yo, I figured out why there's pee on the toilet seats in public, because I put on this fat suit for these videos, and I went pee and I couldn't see my dick. I couldn't see where it was.
No, that's true.
I couldn't see where it was aimed.
It's not true to your dick. It's not true to your dick, but regular dicks.
Where it was aimed, and I peed on the seat, and I was like, this is why public bathrooms have piss all over them.
That is.
Because the fat people can't see their dicks.
I'm very adamant about like people cleaning up after themselves after the bathroom. You all know that I'd rip in the chat so bad when there's piss on any seat. So I don't know.
I've pissed in an airplane. And not see my dick, and it just shot off to the side. My piss will go like it's almost like there's a something blocking the stream.
I think it's usually if you jerk off a lot, it's like dried cum in your dick tip, and then it'll that's what it is, and then it separates the stream.
That's definitely what it is.
Yeah.
Have you ever jerked off on an airplane?
No, I haven't. I've thought about it a lot. Sick. I got a 6-hour flight tonight. I would love to be able to kill my time jerking off.
I got
on testosterone and my dick started getting hard like crazy. And I was on a flight to Australia. I was sitting next to Dustin Johnson, the golfer, and Paulina Gretzky randomly. But my dick was rock hard in a pair of sweatpants. What's the hip cool pants with the rainbow on the side? And those, like the light sweatpants, rock hard. And the flight attendant's like, can I get you a blanket? And I was like,
I think it's something about the altitude, because my dick gets hard often on planes.
I cry on planes too.
Really? You cry a lot in general.
I stopped.
Why do you cry?
It's good.
I stopped.
Why'd you stop?
Because I didn't like it.
Like, why were you crying?
I was getting emotional. I was very grateful, and then I just stopped being grateful, and I was like, fuck it.
You ungrateful piece of shit.
There's a great moment with you and Chris, actually, of you guys talking about being fathers that I saw, and it really is a special moment. I think
you get some people that like it, and then you get other people that just clip it out, and you're like, and then you see yourself like, and you're like, fuck.
Yeah. So I mean, was it an act? If you're able to just stop crying?
No, I just don't allow myself. I used to allow myself the honesty to get emotional. I used to allow it.
Yeah, sure.
And then now I just shut it down. I go, I don't go there. Just
I think you should. I think it's good.
I didn't know, man. I was just, it's like I overshared. I got on podcasts. I'd overshare about everything. Everything was like a raw nerve. And I was running at a level, and I'm certain you guys probably understand it. I was doing so much, and I was promoting a movie, a special, a tour, a summer festival. I was promoting all these fucking things, and I wasn't allowing myself. I did a European tour, an Australian tour, an American, North American arena tour, and I was like, didn't have any time to like really take care of myself and like get some sleep. And I'm just partying every night, and then I just go in, and someone would ask me something, I just feel it, and I just let it go. I just fucking be like, fuck it, I don't give a fuck. And then you get enough of those clips of like crying montages where you're like, all right, time to stop crying, bitch.
I got some crying montages too.
You cry a couple times.
Those shits live with you forever.
I think it's great though. It's passion. And we have this like reverse thing in society where it's like men shouldn't cry.
Crying
and all
is
this
gay.
Yeah, and it's stupid. Yeah. It's stupid. We all have emotions.
What I would argue that maybe men shouldn't do is be afraid of everything in the world. You're afraid of everything in the world. I have notes here. And
he's saying you shouldn't do that.
A list of things that you're terrified of. You're terrified of death.
Oh, okay.
You're
hold on.
I just got started.
Okay.
You're terrified of clowns.
Yes.
You're terrified of balloons. You're terrified of flying.
Yeah.
You have panic attacks.
He's looking around.
You're claustrophobic.
You're
afraid of heights, and you have overall general bad anxiety.
Yeah, I'm also afraid of venereal diseases, pores. I'd be shocked. The list is fucking pretty hefty. Yeah, I don't know, man. I would argue, I'm trying to figure it out in therapy. I think it's because I grew up in Florida. I think in Florida there is so much trauma in this state. You know, if you just look at this state, someone said to me, you ever think you'll quit drinking beer? And I said, no, because I grew up in Florida. Like, we have lightning, we have alligators, we have poisonous snakes, we have sinkholes. Sinkholes, out of nowhere when I was a kid, the street that we played football on sunk into the earth. And then all of a sudden, it was gone. It was gone. And if you grew up in Florida, you know that's a real thing. Sinkholes happen. That's how we have most of our fucking lakes. Lightning. I mean, we can't have giraffes at our zoos here because of lightning.
Is that true?
No, I don't know if that's true. I'm just guessing. But like, it seems like it would be, right?
They were just reaching up.
It's like to be a giraffe in a thunderstorm.
That's terrible.
Like, fuck, it's just me.
That's fucked up.
But like, and so... And so like, and like Florida was a terrifying place to grow up. When I was a kid, Adam Walsh got kidnapped out of Miami. They found him in a fucking drainage, his head in the drainage. That was real. He went to the mall with his mom and then they never saw him again. That was Florida for you. Right. Mm. And so I don't know, man, I think it's just a protective system that happens. You start having like legit phobias. I'm terrified of death. I'm terrified of death in the same way that I don't like leaving a party early. I don't want it to end. I just don't want it to.
Okay, I have a question for you then. Shoot. Because this is my favorite question to ask people that are afraid of death.
Please.
If you had the option, say you had a genie in front of you that could grant you eternal, never-ending life here on Earth, would you take it?
Well, I'll tell you what I'd take before that. Mm-hmm. Mutual assured destruction. Like, just we all die at the same time.
That's not fucking fair.
I just want us all to die together.
So you're on some nihilistic shit.
I don't want to die.
If we can all die in like an atomic bomb, then I'd be like, fucking thank God.
No.
Yeah. And then
just end the human race.
I don't want to die.
You're selfish. It's what you are.
Bert wants the end of the human race. Okay.
I just
this fucking Oppenheimer death. I don't want to fucking
die. I don't want to see my kids die. I don't want to see them die, but if they die with me, I'm cool. Like, whenever we fly together, my whole family, I go, I'm not nervous on this flight.
It's so selfish.
I know. No shit. I can't help it. I'm being honest. I thought you said we could be vulnerable. Okay,
we kind of have like a sick, twisted airplane fantasy, though. I'm like, yo, if this motherfucker started crashing right
we're
now.
We're going to be like.
I'll just start fucking rapping just freestyle. Like, fuck it.
Oh no, if an airplane started going down, I'd be like
like, what the fuck am I gonna do? I don't know, but
don't like, what are you gonna complain? What are you gonna scream? Like, shut the fuck up. Like, go out like doing something funny.
Okay,
like,
how do you think you're going to die?
I think I'm gonna outlive a lot of people, and it's gonna make people frustrated. And then I'm going to die in a bed. It's going to be like congenitive heart failure or something. It's going to be pretty weak.
Who's it going to make frustrated if they're all dead?
Segura will be like, he'll have cancer. And he'll be like, in his bed. I'll go to say goodbye to him. And he'll be like, I thought you were going to die first. And I was like, I know, isn't that crazy?
It does tend to work like that. The least suspecting person lives the longest.
Yeah.
You're like a freaky manifester. You're like a freaky dark manifester.
I have a feeling I'm going to live longer than you, and I'm sorry that you probably don't feel the same. You make fun of me for being fat and unhealthy, but I think I'm going to live longer than you.
You know,
I thought you were talking to me or him. I was like, I think you're longer than me too.
You know what's interesting, though, is that like the extremely wealthy people now are focused on immortality. Like, that's like the next wave of what wealthy people are focusing on is like how to become immortal.
Y'all just can't get enough. Crazy. I feel like you guys are so ungrateful.
They're 3D printing organs and putting them into pigs, and it's working. Like, they 3D printed a brain and put it into a pig, and the pig survived and is like fully functional. So like, okay, you might die if you get hit by a car or some shit, but if you had cancer or something bad in you could just get a new organ like put right into your shit.
I want to die at like 55. I feel like that's enough.
That's so young.
Yeah, no.
That's so fucking young.
I'm not interested in being here like too long.
You sound like a child who goes, what do you want to be when you grow up? And he goes, I want to be a fireman and I want to make $1 million. I want to die at 55.
I just feel like that's long enough. Like you rich fucking scumbags just wanting to live longer, like you can't get enough, like you're just already fucking...
I'm not included in that.
You're
not doing longevity shit?
No, I am, but like I'm not trying to be immortal. I think his question, he asked me this question because I was like, no, like I want to be immortal, and then he posed this question that he posed to you where you think about it and you're like, damn, I would have to live forever.
Well, so
that fucking sucks.
Here's the point of it. The point of the question is that if you really think about the idea of living here on Earth forever, then it strips all meaning from life. The only reason we get up and do anything in life, the only reason we get up and it's worth chasing whatever we want to chase, the only reason it's worth going to the gym, the only reason it's worth doing anything is because we know that one day it ends.
Yeah.
So it reframes it in this way where you start to appreciate death. You start to think about like, if there wasn't death, if I just had it never ended, there's no reason to do anything. There's no reason to get up. There's no reason to do anything.
I think about that when I go to the gym in the morning. I think like, this morning I didn't want to go to the gym, and I was like, if I do this, I get a little more out of life. And then life does. I have been thinking lately, it is fleeting. It does go away. One day it goes black for all of us. It just goes black. And then you can't stop it. That's the fucking scary thing, is you can't stop it. I went in for a colonoscopy the other day. And I have a pretty bleak view sometimes. I can tap into sadness really easily. Like, just see it in the world. And then the nurse said, are you nervous? And I said, I am. But one day you guys will be rolling me in and it'll be way worse. And she was like, huh? I was like, one day I'll be dying and you'll be rolling me in. And she was like, whoa. By the way, sidebar, super dark.
Well, you should have just been like, no, I'm not nervous. Like, my friends have stuck beer in my asshole and a handstand.
Tell me if you find like a quarter up there or something. No, I'm looking for some keys. I went, my colonoscopy, whatever the guy is, that doctor texted me. He's like, yo, I found 3 polyps. They're benign. Mm. So you're good. We removed them. You're going to be fine. Your next appointment is in 7 years. And I wrote back on like the Cedars-Sinai DM. I wrote, cool. What should I wear? And then he wrote, he like, no sense of humor. He's like, I'm not certain I'll be your doctor then. And I wrote, let's make a commitment to each other now to do this. And he just was like, okay.
That's funny as fuck. Sometimes when random numbers text these guys' phones, they like start to have full-on conversations with these people and send them the most fucked up shit.
There's a lady named Loretta that thinks I'm her doctor right now. She texts me frequently asking random ass questions and I shut up.
That is so fucking dangerous.
This bitch is gonna die by my hand.
That is so fucking
Loretta, if you're watching.
There's fuck a woman Loretta. Named Loretta going, hold on, my doctor's named, wait.
I'm fucking sick of it, bro. Like, it'll pop up. It's not even a contact. It'll say, maybe Loretta, and she'll be asking me something about her health. Like, I don't know, bitch, go eat some bologna or something.
Sometimes when the Verizon thing texts me, like when I go international, and it's like, yo, like $5 for a plan, I just reply like angrily. I'm like, fuck you, bitch. And it just feels good to like attack a robot. I don't know, like
it feels good. I think I have like a mental illness or something, because the other day
you do.
For the record, we all do. We're sitting in front of 9 cameras talking to each other. Like, regular people don't do that.
Yeah, what do they do though? I was thinking about that. Like, sometimes I have free time and I'm like, damn, like, what the fuck is this bullshit? Like, what do people do?
Dude, I just
I don't know. And that's what I say. I say it. You guys hear me say it. I say, what do people do?
I think they work. They don't. I don't think regular people have like just like a fuck ton of free time where they're just sitting around. Like,
yeah, I have a lot.
Yes,
of free
they
time.
Do.
It's
what the fuck?
Sick.
They work 9 to 5, and then they have from 5 to midnight. That's a lot of fucking time. 7 hours. What do
people
you do?
Have kids young.
What do you do? What do people do?
Jerk off for 10 minutes. Shower for 20. Watch like 2 episodes of your favorite show.
Oh yeah, people are into TV.
Yeah.
Not kids. You know, this is a crazy thing that like you have those like moments where you see things a little more crystal clear. I was taking my daughter has a house full of girls that they live with at college, and I was trying to get the Florida State game on TV, and I said to one of the girls, they're all sitting on their phones on the couch, like 6 girls. I go, "Yo, how do I get on cable?" And they're like, "I don't think we have it." I go, "You don't know if you have cable?" And they're like, "Nah." And then one of the girls, just, I'm sure she's a stoner, goes, why would we want cable when this knows everything we like and it just sends it to us? And then I thought, how antiquated is cable, trying to guess if you're going to like something and then put it up at 7 o'clock at night, hoping you find the thing you like, as opposed to this goes, hey, do you like Rolex watches? And I'm like, I fucking love Rolex watch. Do you like boat crashing videos? I fucking love. Do you like Puerto Rican guys getting their hair cut? I'm like, how did you fucking know that? I didn't even know that I like Puerto Rican guys getting their hair cuts. Right. It is the sexiest fucking videos, especially when they come in looking like Chupacabra and they just line them up and they look fucking tight walking out. I'm like, dude, it is fucking
you
awesome.
You two are both gay.
It is
I could open a barbershop
satisfying.
In Spanish Harlem and just sit there all day.
Yeah. Well, I can't judge because I like watching videos of tragedies, people dying or doing stupid stuff and then dying, and I send it to them and like they never like laugh back.
I should give you Segura's number.
Oh my god,
he loves that. He showed me a video. It's a pretty sad video, but it's very funny, of a guy parachuting who mistimed the peaks of mountains, and so He like pulls it. But the funniest part is you hear the guy talking to himself because he's got a GoPro. He's like, oh no, oh no. Oh, look, I don't think I'm going to ow at this. Oh, my knee. Oh no. Oh God. Oh my God. We're clearing mountain. Oh shit, another mountain. It's like three peaks. He hits three peaks back to back. Segura is crying laughing. And I go, does he live? And he's like, I don't know. Who cares?
Yeah, my friend died like that.
For real?
Yeah.
Skydiving?
Yeah, base jumping.
Oh, well,
yeah. He was like my best friend.
For real?
Yeah.
That's what they say. They say when you take up base jumping, you are assured of the way you die. Mm. That's how you die when you take up base jumping.
That's kind of fucked up.
We should, that's really fucked up.
Bring that up, though.
We should call Johnny. Oh,
wait, how old was he?
He's not dead.
He's not dead?
No, but he almost died. He almost died.
And then he sent us a video.
He almost died, and he was so excited about it. He was like, bro, check this video out. I was like, bro, like, what? I tried to get him to stop.
You know what eyes you just gave me? Do you ever been with a chick and you're like, how do you feel about me? And she's like, how do you feel about me? You go, I love you. And then she just looks at you and goes, cool. And you're like, I want to take that back.
I had the worst embarrassing moment of my entire life having sex, cowgirl, fucking her. I go, whose pussy is this? She doesn't respond.
Bro, yeah, that's tough.
It's actually probably
like, no. You said it louder as if she didn't hear you.
It's honestly the worst feeling I've ever had in my entire life. And I tried to be so sexy and player when I said it. I'm moaning in this bitch's ear. No response. Because I knew it wasn't
my
question.
Did you ask again?
No, I didn't say anything the whole time. It was like, I
just wanted to. Yeah, he asked it more earnestly. No, seriously, I'm just wondering. Whose pussy is this? I mean, it's really good pussy. If I was to order more pussy, where would I get this pussy?
Bro, most embarrassing fucking thing I've ever gone through in my entire life.
But that's like kind of like fucked up on her part, to be honest.
No, because this bitch was being honest. This isn't my pussy. This is community pussy. And it's just my turn. It's like sipping out a water fountain at a fucking park and going, whose water fountain is this? This ain't my fucking water fountain. This is a community.
Yeah, to be fair, you asked a stupid question.
Yeah, I get it.
Because it'd be one thing if like you knew she was just for you, but if it's community, then you don't want the answer, really. You don't want to hear. What if she started naming off Jamal, Trey, so-and-so?
Now I know. Like now I think.
And then she started going into deep ethnic names. She's like Akbar, Ishtar, Ning. Dude, speaking of prank calls, I got a prank call from Hong Kong one time where it says likely spam. So I so badly wanted to answer the phone and go, hello? But I didn't. I didn't. And by the way, I didn't because I was like, I don't want anyone to know that I thought that. And now I just told everyone that I was thinking that.
Yeah.
So I should have just answered
that
it.
That happens on podcasts.
You should have just done it.
I should have done it.
We used to do some crazy. We can't tell the story about the prank calls we do, though.
No, 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 no. That is literally not going on.
Yeah, we actually can't tell the story. We actually can't tell it.
For real?
Yeah.
My daughters, when they were young, they were like, I walked in the room. I go, what are you guys doing? And they were really young, and they were like, we're making prank calls. And I was like, really? And they're like, yeah, George is really good at it, Dad. And I was like, really? And she goes, yeah. And she did a prank call, and she goes, hello? You just want a car. Hang on. She goes, Dad, take it from here. And I was like, what the fuck? I was like, hello? And the lady's like, what kind of car did I win? And I was like, click. I go, you guys don't know how to do prank calls.
That's some of my brother and I's first videos when we were like 11 and 13 was prank calling stores. We would prank call Petco and tell them that our goldfish was drowning and that we didn't know what to do. pretty fucking stupid. But hey, look at us now.
That's amazing.
Hey. Look at us now, huh?
Hey, you're like
it out.
You're like adult Levi Strauss.
Idiots. It all started with the goldfish drowning prank calls, man.
And now you guys are adult idiots.
Yep.
It's paying
off. It's paying off.
It's paying off.
I know. I reap the benefits. I'm like,
would you guys all live in Puerto Rico now?
Yeah.
How fucking great is that?
It's the best thing in the world. I love Dorado. And it's a perfect place for training, paradise, in the sun every day. Even being here in Miami, I'm like, this sun sucks. The weather here sucks.
It's different than Puerto Rico.
In Puerto Rico, it's the best fucking weather.
It is pretty fucking awesome.
Yeah.
Do you have Mofongo? Hmm? What's the paste that they make it on the streets? Mofongo? Dude, Puerto Rico is a pretty badass place, especially the old town of Puerto Rico.
Yeah,
where you can walk in the streets and get lost.
It's sick.
And then all of a sudden you're on top of the city and you're like, fuck.
Yeah.
You think back, I'll tell you what I'm obsessed with lately is getting into the history of things and all the people that came in. Like today I was researching Florida, like because I grew up here, but I never really knew the history here. And like Dade County, I didn't know that was an actual dude who was killing Seminole Indians and then they murdered him. Like, it's like real. Like, I think that's kind of interesting. Like, Flagler built the wow. train down here, and so the train that got all the, like, they used to call Jacksonville the Yankees of the South because that's where all the Northerners stopped in Jacksonville. They're like, I'm not going to fucking Miami. Miami's crazy. No one came down to Miami like until like after World War II. That's when people started showing up down here because they brought all the soldiers to train for World War II down to Florida, and these dudes are from Nebraska going like, what the fuck is this? This, and they're like, when I get back, this is where I'm coming. And that's why it exploded. And there was a huge Jewish population that they wanted a Jewish society, like a safe place, a haven for Jews here. Florida's a pretty fucking interesting place. But Puerto Rico, dude, the history of, there's a book James Michener wrote. It's called The Caribbean. And it's fucking fascinating. I'm jealous that you guys are, I mean jealous like in like a, not in a biblical way, but in like a, God, man, it's cool to see what you guys are doing and like living a cool young life, no fucking tethers, doing what you want in a fucking beautiful location.
He goes in and watches the Puerto Ricans get their hair cut. Actually, like,
satisfaction. You'd be like, where's Bert? And you're like, you know, he's at a barbershop. He got drunk and he's just sitting there just paying staring. Boys to get their hair cut again.
We should do this. We should go back. You just talked about us living a cool young life. We've been bullshitting since you got here. We should go through the story of your life. You have an incredible life story.
My life is just lucky. That's it. My life's lucky. It's I'm the luckiest motherfucker. I go to Florida State 6.5 years, do not study at all.
How did you pass, though?
I don't know, man. I got to be dead honest with you. I don't know. I really don't know. I think I'm okay smart, but, like, cheated sometimes. Definitely cheated. And I took a lot of creative writing classes. I was an English major. I took Russian, they just needed kids for the class, so I got two years of Russian, 4 semesters. But and then at the end of my college, Rolling Stone magazine called my house, random as fuck, called my house. I was in the middle of a bong hit. Blair Mendez answered. We were going to play disc golf. I took a bong hit, and he was like, hey, man, I want to write an article about Florida State. Will you be my chaperone? I exhaled, and I was like, yeah. He's like, are you doing a bong hit? And I was like, yeah. He was like, you're the fucking guy. Stayed with me for like a week, and then he wrote a 6.5-page article about me that changed my life. That changed my life. And I was lucky enough to have the right people in my ear, and I think you guys will understand this, the older men that go, dude, fuck what everyone's saying. Go after it. Mm. Chase your dreams.
Yeah.
No one gets to be that young again and with nothing to fucking – like I had like 3 men in my life, my dad being one of them, my uncle, my other uncle, Benny Lazzaro, hit me up and they were like, go after it. Move to New York. Don't give a fuck what anyone says. Go after it. Move to New York. Oliver Stone optioned the rest of my life. Move to New York. Will Smith discovered me. And then I was off to the races. And I had 2 things in my benefit. Number one, my dad taught me at a late age in life humility about being the guy that says, I don't mind cleaning up if that's how I can get an opportunity. My dad taught me that late in life at 26. The other thing was I felt like an underdog. I felt like everyone was smarter than me. I felt like everyone was a better comic than me. I felt like I had to work a little harder to get, because they're brilliant comics. Dimitri Martin, never going to be confused for a mediocre comic. He's a genius. Daniel Tosh, genius. Mm-hmm. Fucking Tom Segura, genius. Joe Rogan, genius. Bill Burr, genius. These are all geniuses that I was surrounded by. And I was like, I'm not as good as them. So I always kind of worked a little harder and didn't mind paying attention to what guys like you and your brother were doing. Like, I was an early adapter to what you guys were doing back on Vine. And, I was on Vine back in the day. So those guys didn't have to do it because they were so talented. I always felt like I needed to hustle. And so I, you know, took TV show jobs that you didn't need. I worked for Travel Channel for 9 years. Started doing Rogan at like 12, 13 years ago when he was, but I liked what he was doing. I thought it was cool as fuck. Mm-hmm. Like, I was watching him doing podcasts with Joey Diaz and Tom Segura and Ari Shaffir, and I was crying laughing going, man, I wish I could do that. And then Joe hit me up. He's like, you know, I'd love to have you do my podcast. And I wasn't the guy going to take that lightly. The same way I look at something like this. This is an opportunity. You guys have a huge platform, and I'm a fan. I'm a fan.
Thank you.
So I look
this
at,
is an opportunity
I look at,
for us, by the
oh,
way.
I look like, at things cool. as like a fan first. And so I rolled into Joe going like, bro, I'm gonna empty the boat. Whatever story you want to hear, I'll tell. Whatever you want me to do, I'll do. You want to smoke weed? I wasn't a big weed smoker at the time. I was like, let's fucking go. I'll get drunk. You name it. I'll tell you every fucking story in the boat. And then became friends with Joe and valued my friendship with Joe. I still do. Took every bit of advice he said to me one night. Be undeniable. Didn't know what the fuck that meant. Wrote it in the fucking top of my joke book. Be undeniable. I didn't know what it meant. And then one day, Yeah, it's the fucking...
It's a superpower.
It's a superpower. Once you become undeniable, then everything falls into place. You start really not giving a fuck, and you're like, no. What I do is undeniable. That's the thing.
Nothing anyone says matters once you're undeniable.
Dude. And then one, and the best is the day you realize you're undeniable. Mm. And you're like, wait, I put in the work.
That's like, when you become an egomaniac. Because when you really know.
You really have to crash first, right? I had a bad crash.
Oh, I had. Let's go crash for crash. I'll tell you my crash.
All right, so boom. I'm 20 years old. I get a wire from Interscope. I signed my first deal. I got wired damn near like 800 grand. And I'm 20 at the time. Oof. I can't even legally drink. I live in L.A., which is even worse. I have nothing but yes men around me and terrible people.
And
I
taught him how to party at first.
They taught me how to party. I didn't drink, smoke, do any drugs till I moved in with him when I was like 18.
Really?
Yeah. So by 20... they moved to Puerto Rico, and I was like, fuck that. I just made $1 million. I'm going to stay in L.A. I'm the shit. I'm fucking famous. Everyone's welcoming out here. Everyone wants something to do with me. Blew $500,000 in 4 months before I realized, oh, there's taxes. There's overhead.
I got one of those phone calls.
I became a
I was pregnant with Georgia. I got a phone call saying, yo, you owe 35 grand. And I went, huh? I go, just take it out of my thing. And my guy's like, you don't have it. And I was like, and that's a keep going. I like this.
Raging drug addict for a year and a half. 2C, Molly, ketamine, ecstasy, fucking just alcoholic, just frying my brain, partying 4 or 5 nights a week until I like hit a bottom. And actually, it was at Coachella. I did drugs for 96 hours straight, 4 fucking days, 5 drugs a day, just 96 hours straight with all terrible people, just fucking junkies. And then like I realized what I chose going to Coachella over, and it was I had to move out of my house on the 24th of April, and Coachella was on April 17th, I think. So I stayed there until 3 days before I had to move out of my house. And I was just like fried out my mind, like, damn, this is it.
Your bottom's way better than mine.
Fuck.
Mine was just Segura telling me, I got fired from Travel Channel. My wife demoed our house to rebuild it. She wanted me to get a vasectomy. I was supposed to do this tour with Tommy and Joey and Fluffy and Sebastian and Dane and this big tour called Oddball, and I got pulled off of it. And I wasn't getting paid much. I was getting paid like $2,000 a weekend for the tour. And when Tom found that out, all this stuff's going on in this one, and everything's going on. Tom called me and he's like, dude, I heard you're not doing any of the Funny or Die tours. I was like, yeah, no. He's like, that sucks, man. What are you going to do? And I was like, no, I mean, I'll just wait. Oh, my special came out and it flopped. It flopped bad. The machine, the special came out and it flopped. No one watched it. It was the lowest watched special ever on Showtime ever.
Wow.
And I was just like, I was like, fuck. I was like, dude,
that's,
I was like,
that's
what?
Pretty bad.
Dude, it's a humbling moment. And then, but it got worse.
But now you're like top 10 on Netflix.
Yeah. Well, what's crazy is at that moment, that's the movie. The special's doing great on the special's since found an audience because they changed the channel because I was shirtless. I took my shirt off and everyone back in the day when they were like, nah. And then what they didn't realize, what no one realizes that moment, is the internet works the exact opposite as television. The internet sees a shirtless guy and goes, what the fuck is this? And you stay for an extra second. And then you find out it's funny. You go, oh shit, I don't, and then you forget he's shirtless. Television was like, how dare you walk into my living room shirtless, click. Because television was confrontational. It was saying like, I'll take my dick out and you'll tell me if you like it. As opposed to going like, yo, what's that lump? Is that your dick? Let me see it. That's the way the internet works. Yeah. So then Segura called me. I was sitting in my man cave. I was fat. Oh, Tom was fat shaming me at the time. But that's the other thing is it's going viral. Tom's calling me the fattest fucking racist in the planet. Right. Mm. As a joke, obviously best friends.
Racist.
He calls me. Yeah, whatever. And so, so Tom calls me and goes, it sucks you're not doing Oddball. I go, I know. He goes, this is a lot of money to leave on the table. I go, it's only $2,000 a week. And he goes, huh? I go, yeah, it's only $2,000 a week. He goes, wait, is that what they're paying you? I go, what are they paying you? And he goes, mind you, he's my best friend. He goes, I don't want to tell you. I said, what do you got? He goes, I think it's going to fuck up our friendship. Now, this is a moment where you have to realize, is your friendship going to last? Realizing where you are in life and how far below you are as another guy. So I said to myself, if he's making 10 grand a weekend, 20 grand a weekend, I can wrap my head around that. He's bigger than I am. So I said, tell me how much you're making. And he goes, are you sure? I said, yeah, I've already decided it's not going to affect our friendship. He goes, 20 grand a show. I go, you're a show? I go, we were doing like six shows a weekend. I was like, motherfucker. And then I just, I realized how, where I was on the pecking order of stand-up and where I was in the entertainment industry. I took that moment to, I was humbled and I said, I'm going to rebuild on my page. I'm not going to listen to a fucking soul. Anything I find cool, I'm leaning towards. Anything I like, if it's drawing my eye, I'm leaning towards it. The first thing I found was a TV show, a web series called Hot Ones. I just thought it was cool. It wasn't very big at the time. It wasn't very big at all. They just launched it. I hit that guy, Sean Evans. I was like, when you start having comics, man, I'll fucking deliver. And he was like, a year later, he's like, yo, we can have comics. And I went on, and I will say this, that Sean will say this as well. Every comic he had on after was me going, yo, you got to have on Joey Diaz. You got to have on Tom Segura. You got to have on Bill Burr. You got to have on these guys. These are the best dudes in the game. And I found you and your brother, and I was like, at first, I think I found you guys through D'Elia, because like your brother was in beef with D'Elia.
Then
I started, and then I watched your brother get in trouble, and I went, hold on, this can't be the end of this. I watched it. I loved watching and being a fan of shit. But that moment when you sit there and you're like, I'm making no money. I got no money coming in. The internet's calling me fat. I am fat. And you're like, fuck.
And really, it's jaded, because $2,000 a week is a great income for most
people.
Not
when you're a comic.
Right.
Because you got to pay. I had to pay for my flight, my travel, my hotel, and I had to give half to managers and agents. And I had to pay taxes on it. So really, it was the opportunity I was doing. I was going there for the opportunity. It's the reason I started Fully Loaded. I was so burned by that festival that they did that to me, that I said, I'll make my own festival. No one's going to put me in a fucking festival. I'll make my own festival. And I'll create it myself, and then one day I'll sell it to Budweiser. And so I made Fully Loaded, and next year we're doing two nights at the Gorge. We did one night at the Gorge. Open invite, gentlemen. I'll fly you in private. You ever want to come to one? I'm being serious. I made this offer. I hold true to the offer. The only person I've ever made this offer to, other than you guys, Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Wow.
I was like, yo, if you ever want to come one, I'll fly you out private. Because I think it's, first of all, I know what if you show up, you put one Instagram post, any of you guys, it's a big deal. You guys know that. But I'd love to fucking party with you guys. Get down.
I'm down as fuck.
Regardless of the jet, we'd love to come.
Yeah, yeah. I want to stick a beer in my ass with you.
Me and you are anal chugging at the Beer Olympics next year.
Only time I'll ever do
it. By the way, you know Taylor Lewan and Will Compton are going to hit you guys up and be like, yo, you're definitely coming to the fucking Beer Olympics next year.
Yeah, fuck.
And you'll have a fucking blast, dude. First of all, it's every NFL guy you ever loved. And I know you guys are in NFL. Like, it's every fucking dude that you're sitting there like, George Kittle was there last year, and he had just done Tight End U, and you're just like, they're just in game mode. I love that shit. This is like a little bit of a thought I have of like, people have shit on bros being bros. They've shit on it, and rightfully so. A lot of dudes are bad dudes, but just male energy is not bad. Mm. It's just male energy. My daughters don't like it, and I go, ah, fuck you. I'm going to fucking piss in the backyard. Like, I'm going to piss. It's my house. I piss in the backyard.
What do they say after you just tell them, fuck you?
No, not. They run shit.
So you don't actually say it? You just say it in your head, all right?
My daughter told me, I will disown you if you drink with Jake Paul today. My youngest daughter.
Wait, is that because it's Jake or because you're breaking your sobriety?
It's two things. They're cool with me drinking again, but they go, it's got to be for an event. And then
this is an event.
This is a fucking event.
Leanne texted me and said, a group text. We have a group text called Baby Walrus where we bust balls. And Leanne goes, Dad's doing Jake Paul today. And Georgia goes, is he the cute one? And then Isla wrote back, no, that's Logan.
He's the cute one.
So then Isla goes, wait, are you drinking on this podcast? And I said, probably not. And she goes, I will disown you. No, I will punish fetus. I will punish fetus. They call me fetus. If you drink with Jake Paul. And I said, I we're not drinking. I promise you. I can't.
Can we call her right now?
She's in school.
She might answer. These kids don't pay attention these days.
No, I've broken their, it's crazy. Do you ever think the commitment you made to your life when you were young, like, you know, you started Vine when you were like, what, 13, 12?
When I was 14 or 15, 14. Yeah.
Do you ever think the contract you signed with the world at that age, not knowing what would happen to you today and where you'd be today with your privacy being so limited, did you ever think, like, if I could do it all over again, would I make the same decisions?
I've thought about that a lot. I would make the same exact decisions 100%.
Well, my daughters did not make that decision. Like, I just chose to make them famous. Like, I just was like, funny shit, put it in a special. Isla got her period, and she threw a period party, and I thought it was funny.
That's crazy.
So I told it on Conan, not realizing I just told everyone in her school she got her period yesterday. And then came home like, yo, everyone knows I got my period.
Yeah, that's real life.
It's very real.
That's like, okay, cool. Like, yeah, like.
But adversely, and this is where, you know, this is where the contract negotiation gets loosey-goosey, is then the next week it goes viral on Conan. It gets like 20 million views on Conan's Facebook. And then little girls start emailing my website going like, thank you for your daughter letting you share that story. I was nervous. I got my period. I freaked out. But my mom threw me a period party. We included my brother. We named my period. We had a red velvet cake. Like, and so Isla is really proud of that now. Velvet. It's, oh, you didn't, dude. We had red velvet cake. We had Kool-Aid. We had pasta with chunky marinara sauce.
By the way, is there Kool-Aid in there?
No, LMNT.
Congrats on kicking the Kool-Aid.
Well, it's keto, baby.
Okay.
I can't trick my tongue into sweet stuff.
It's weird, though, because my girlfriend talks about, like, being a professional athlete but like having periods and how hard it is for her. She has like a race day and she's on her period. It's like and when she talks about it, other women are like, so they feel like a sense of community, and they're like happy that she gets to like talk about it, and they feel like they're not alone, because it's definitely like a crazy thing to deal with.
Did you know they can't plan their period? They just get it.
Yeah, I knew
like,
that.
Like, they just shows up. Just shows up like on a car seat. Like, they just bleed into a pair of pants sometimes.
Yeah.
I didn't know that. I thought you just pushed. And then, like, like, I didn't know.
Wow.
I didn't know, like, you didn't know that.
I kind of knew that.
No, hold on.
You know, didn't girls, know that?
Like, a girl
you,
would get a...
Don't
get
fucking a, do that. I'm not as fucking stupid as this guy.
Hold on. How many tampons do you think a woman goes through when she gets her period?
I don't know.
Oh, hold on. Come on.
I have no fucking idea. Like, I'm 22 years old. I don't know.
But you knew they didn't push.
Probably four.
No, like... 15.
No shot.
Fuck it. How many? What? And no, in a day. Yeah, go sure. Give us a day.
Four. Five.
In a day, like, I would guess like two or three.
I'd say
like
definitely.
Four or five?
I was thinking one initially, but I know that it's more than one. It's four? So then they're going through like 12.
Three or four is what she said.
12 or fucking 16 tampons. That's where the money is, boys. Let's put some branding on tampons. Wow. Jake Paul, I can't get in every pussy, but this one's for you. Put your name on tampons. Good. That's a good fucking... Hey, dude, think about how many chicks wouldn't mind having sex with you and then be like, hey, man, just know I'm there in spirit, and just write that on the tampon.
Wow. Yo, that's crazy.
And then make it a boxing glove so it just goes in.
It's fisting them.
That's not bad. Look, she's looking. She works for you. She's like, it's not a bad idea.
This sounds like a great idea for like a Matt Rife.
And then Matt Rife could do it. And then you have one glove when you fight next that's white and one that's red. But your knockout one's red. Dude, this is branding.
It's a good idea, actually.
It's not a bad idea. I've had some wild ideas that I think would have made money, but they never, people don't listen to my ideas.
Give me an example.
I wanted to do a show called Moat Crashers. You remember a TV show called Bath Crashers and House Crashers? They go in and renovate someone's bath or renovate their house. Well, I wanted to put moats around people's houses. So you go into a Home Depot, go, you guys building a moat? And everyone's like, no. And you go, you want one? Some guy would be like, fuck, I'll take a moat. And then you build a fucking moat around their house. I mean, I'm just saying, like,
do you put, like, alligators in them?
Well, Jake, it's your moat. Let's build it. How do you want
bro,
it?
Bro, I want some alligators.
Fuck yes. This is the fun of the show. Now that you're into my shows, let me pitch you the other one. It's called Blind Design. A blind guy designs your house. Right? Imagine the reveal. You're like, what the fuck happened here? You say, see that guy talking in the refrigerator? He's your designer.
Wait, I want a moat. Fuck.
What about combine them both? The blind moat designer.
Jake, wow. This is your house. Listen, we've lost the living room. He dug out a little too deep. I have one called Bathrooms, 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 where we turn every room into your house into a bathroom. And then, which isn't great for the homeowner, but if you're in the market for building a new bathroom, you're watching our fucking show.
He actually sleeps in his tub.
Oh, for real?
Yeah.
Sure. Yeah, sure.
You didn't make it convincing enough. You're supposed to play that.
I'm just trying to see where you're going with this. Yeah, sure.
No, you're just supposed to play it along. He's out of his fucking mind.
Dude, I used to have some wild fucking ideas. I had one called, like, I wanted to do dentured adventures at Travel Channel where we go in an old age home and just go, like,
just,
you know.
Just get hella head, right?
No. Wow. Oh, I love the parallel thinking that our brains do.
Just gummy head.
I come up with the title and you tell me the show. This is a great bit.
All right, let's go.
Dentured Adventures is not getting head from old people.
Dentured Adventures.
Fuck yeah.
He always talks about some gummy head.
Oh, I love it.
This is a great segment. You should keep going.
Yeah, come
okay,
on.
Okay. Okay.
What's the show title? And we'll come up with the show.
All right. Name of the show is called Kid Catcher.
a skip.
No, come on.
No,
Kid
you
Catchers.
Have to go, Jasper.
I'm going to skip that one. I'm seriously going to skip that one.
All right. Ready? Name of the show, Dark and Stormy.
Ooh, it's like a.
It's a good title.
So all dark skinned people.
I love it already. I'm so attracted to dark skinned black women.
A lot of melanin in like the carnival room with mirrors in it, and everyone's naked.
Ooh, no, I like dark skinned black women. A dating show. The whitest dude in the world has to date the darkest woman in the world.
Wow.
And they all have fucking attitude.
Derek.
Dark and Stormy.
Wait, where is Derek?
Dark and Stormy. Wait, what's your pitch for Dark and Stormy?
I immediately went like horror film. But that was boring.
Ooh, no, fuck
no,
that.
No, no, no. I like horror films.
Good cruise ship name. Darkest, but only for black people. Super dark people on a cruise ship.
I think that's called the Tom Joyner cruise.
Oh. Okay.
I wish you guys knew more about radio. You go, oh, that's actually. He actually is a radio host.
Yeah, we didn't have that.
Radio?
I'm joking. We had it for a little bit. Like, no, we had it for like 3 or 4 days. And then we got the iPads and iPods and all the that.
I've heard that in my dad's car one time.
You were born in the early 1900s, correct?
Yes. Wait. I was born in 72. Oh, when was your dad born?
1963, I believe.
No. Your dad's my age, I think. He's like 50, right?
He's like about to turn 60.
Oh, shit.
He's a fucking stud.
I like your dad.
Yeah, he's...
I like your dad.
He's
I get along pretty well with
one
your dad.
Of a kind. You guys would probably be best friends.
I think we'd get along.
You guys would drink
easily.
Hella beer.
I think we would.
I don't think he would do the butt chug, though. The handstand.
I don't think you
would. No,
you
that's guys, gay.
Yeah.
Your dad's a little old school.
Yeah.
That's all he would say.
He'd be like, fuck no. I'm not doing any of that shit. I never had a brother, so I don't have like... I'm more tuned to like the gay shit. Like I'm more chick shit than I am. Like I like girl energy a little bit. Like all the women, all the people that work for me are all women. Like I walked in here and I was like, oh, there's some bros in here.
Yeah.
I like it though.
So you love the bro energy of the beer Olympics, but then you have all girls working for you?
Yeah. I have all women working.
Is it
for
so
me.
You don't get canceled or?
No. I'm not a sex guy. I'm going to get canceled for shit I say, not something I do. Like, and I think that ultimately, I think shit you say is somewhat forgivable down the line. I think people will go, yeah.
I think it's fucking sick that you are from a time where there's no digital footprint because, like, for some reason,
Dude, from your mouth to God's ears, you have no fucking idea what you just said.
No, I think it's the greatest fucking thing of all time because I am so conscious about what I say. I don't know why my digital footprint is. I value it so much. Like, I don't know what the... I'm 22. I don't know what the fuck I'm going to do one day. I could be 35 and want to do something. And they're like, hey, look at this guy. He said he fucking wants to... It's like, well, I was in a different time then. And
well, you technically didn't say that.
In theory.
If you were to have said
you just
that.
Have to say fuck it, though. Like, you can't live your life worried about
you can't
anything.
Live in the past. That's... Yeah, that's it's it will you know look I've started doing Rogan I'm guessing 13 years ago.
Dang.
I can't imagine and I've done it I don't even know I'm guessing 50 times I couldn't even tell you. I do not know what I've said on that podcast. There have been times where I got home and they pulled the podcast down and I was like, what happened? And then they edited parts out and I was like, I don't know. And I don't know what I've said.
The same thing.
I've said, but look, here's the deal. If you're watching and you want to find a way to like get me canceled, then that's your thing.
Yeah.
And I get it. My intent is never that. My intent is that someone's watching this and just entertained for like a fucking hour or maybe 15 minutes. That's it. My intent has always been to entertain.
Even like 10 seconds is a long time.
Yeah. Like if you find one clip, the one clip that got me to the DeStefano podcast was DeStefano going, where are you guys going to be November 13th? And you're like, I don't know, but it sounds like you're plugging a date. And I started giggling and I went, oh, this would be a good episode. And so like all you need is that one clippable moment. Yeah. And like someone going, you know, Dentured Adventures. And then you're going, oh, you're getting head from old people. Yeah. And then, hey, man, if that's what I deliver the universe that day, fuck yes.
By the way.
All right. Now we're talking.
I'm really upset.
Fuck, man. I've been in Florida for a week and I haven't said it once.
I'm upset that you didn't ask me about Dark and Stormy because I felt like it was a banger and I was waiting for you to make your way over
Dark
here.
And Stormy.
So Dark and Stormy for me is, it's fuck because it's so much later now, is just Travis Scott and his daughter. A movie about them. Sit on it.
We don't give a fuck up.
It's dark and storm. Come on.
Is his daughter named Stormy?
He's black and his daughter's named Stormy.
Oh,
yeah.
That's good.
I'm
too old. I know who Travis Scott is, but I don't know what he's done.
Yeah, he's fucking 50.
I know he has shoes.
He's just a black guy.
I know that like you guys are really into Drake, and I'm not into Drake, but I don't know any of Drake's music.
We bring him with us? Thursday. We have a Drake concert we're going to. We should come.
Like Shane Gillis is obsessed with Drake. Like we went to the Super Bowl. And we did a shows at the Super Bowl at the Mullet Arena, fittingly, in Arizona, and did four shows. And one night, everyone's like, yo, Drake is having a party. And, dude, you would think they had said to Shane Gillis, there's free pussy there. He was like, I'll do anything to get in the party. And I was like, I just don't know his music enough to same with Travis Scott, same with, like, I'm more of a Kodak Black fan than I am.
Whoa. Holy fuck.
Yeah, I like hip hop. I like hip hop.
Really,
you're
really from Florida.
Dude. Kodak Black grew up around here.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like literally, I think like three blocks. I think I drove past his house.
Where did that come from?
What's your favorite Kodak Black song?
Oh, and I couldn't tell you songs. I just know that. No,
I'm awesome.
I couldn't tell you. Like T.I. is probably one of my favorite rappers. I could just sing the song. I don't know the names. That's the part of the digital age is you just hit it on. Like back in the day, Tupac, you knew the album, you knew the number, because you go click, 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 click. Nowadays, it's just like whatever. I download whatever the top songs are. I just download all the top songs and I just play them.
How do you feel about current music, current hip hop?
I think I'm getting old. Mm. Like I'm not gonna say that I don't get it, but like I was late to the game with Migos. I was real late. And so I mean I still like older stuff. Like I just do hip hop wise. I've gotten out of hip hop and more into like jam band stuff. Like what I liked in college. So like I'm big fans of like this band Goose I'm really into them and like I like discovering new music. You know, that guy Oliver Anthony's pretty badass. Colby Cooper is a guy I ran into on tour. I liked his music. I like Sturgill Simpson. I like a lot of stuff, but when it comes to hip hop, I feel like I'm just a little out of the realm of catching what's good. You know,
there's a lot of bullshit hip hop out there though today. You have to like find the right stuff because I'm the biggest hip hop fan. I don't like the majority of hip hop that comes out.
You ain't been listening to hip hop recently.
Yeah, because it's just good.
Well, who do you like?
I like Oliver Anthony too as well. He's fire.
He talk about a fucking hilarious text. I'm sorry that I'm doing this. I know he's all about privacy, but
but let's expose.
It's fucking hilarious. He texted
you.
He texted me. I DM'd him and was like, "Dude, congrats, good luck." I don't know what I said, but you know, the journey he's about to be on is insane.
Yeah.
And then he was like, wrote back, and I said, "You know, if you ever want, you know, gave him my number." And then I got the fucking weirdest text that night going, hey, are you selling the figurine Mickey Mouse Series 9 doll? I'm just curious what shape it's in. I'm only looking for pristine collectibles or whatever. I didn't reply. And the next day he's like, hey, man, this is Oliver. Just funny as
that's
fuck.
Funny.
Just
that's,
funny.
That's hilarious.
Just a funny
dude. He
seems
like a great guy.
So wait, let's talk hip hop because I'm like, I'm a little bit of a old school, like.
Well, can you tell the story of that's how you forged your relationship with Will Smith, right? Was through hip hop.
Dude, I grew up. First generation of hip hop, old school white kid founded on 2020. Like that's how I heard about hip hop first, and I got into like this band Mantronics and then DJ Jazzy Jeff. My kid, my sister, my cousins grew up in Philly, So they turned me on to DJ Jazzy Jeff, who, and I'll tell you, Fresh Prince and DJ Jazzy Jeff, they turned me on to them, and I started listening. And they were fucking legit. When you're young, that was what hip-hop was. Rakim, all those guys. And so he discovered me. His people discovered me in a comedy club, and they're like, I think Will's going to like you. And I was like, for real? And they're like, yeah, if you get him to like you, he'll do a television deal with you for like $125,000 was the price. Six figures is all I remember.
And what do you think? Because that's already an absurd thing, trying to get somebody to like you. Is that a weird game to play? Like,
then it was.
Yeah.
Now it's not. Now I understand the rub. I'm even more so than I did then, and even more so than I did even 10 years ago. But so I just was like, I'm a fan of his. I'll just show that I'm a fan of his. I'll show that I know about hip hop. At the time, the Hot Boys were really big, and I was an early adapter to Lil Wayne. I was a big. By the way, he DM'd me the other day. That's a fucking DM,
Lil
right?
Wayne, yeah, Lil Wayne was how I like really got into hip hop. He was like my childhood idol and all that.
Dude,
shit.
Dude, the Hot Boys albums, he would stand out. Like, I mean, his rhymes were so good. Those old, it's the Hot Boys album, with all of them. But Juvie was blowing up. I was a big fan of Lil Wayne, and I just went in knowing everything about the South, knowing about Trick Daddy. I was a big fan of Trick Daddy at the time. I met him in a dance studio, and I was like, I was on. I was like, dude, I love this. I love that. Tupac, Biggie, you know Tupac.
This is Will Smith.
Smith, and I was like. And I was just like, you're black, I love black people. Like, I hammered him. And then he said to me, he goes, you want to, he goes, I like you. I was like, I like you. I'm like thinking, I'm going to get the deal. He goes, what are you doing tonight? And I go, well, nothing. What are you doing? And he was like, you want to go to the movies? And I was like, yeah. And he's like, cool. And he just left. And then they were like, yeah, we'll meet you at the movies at Planet Hollywood at 7. And I was like, okay. And then I called my dad. My dad's like, what's going on? I said, how'd it go? I go, good. We're going to the movies. My dad's like, on a date? I was like, no. Like, I don't know. Maybe. And he's like, oh, my dad goes, buddy, this is how Hollywood works. These celebrities are tired of pussy. And the only thing that turns them on is the look on a young boy's face when they make them suck their dick.
He's kind of true, by the way.
I've heard rumors.
Yeah. Holy fuck. He told me this and it ruined.
Kind of true, by the way. Yeah. We can get into it, but keep going.
So I said, Dad, it's impossible. I just hung out with him in a dance studio. He's like, what? I was like, nothing. I go, it's impossible. Mm-hmm. My dad goes, buddy, what's more likely? The fact that you're so talented that after doing stand-up for 6 months, the biggest movie star in the world wants to do a television show about you, mm-hmm. or... that he's tired of pussy and he's gay and he wants you to suck his dick. I'm like,
Dad's bringing up a good point.
Fuck. I go, what am I? I go, I'm getting fucked really tonight. He goes, I go, what do I do? And he goes, you show up. Fucking eat shit, cash checks. You show up. He goes, look, I could be right. I could be wrong. I don't know. I'm just not going to send my only son in there unprepared. So I showed up to Planet Hollywood. They were like, Will Smith doesn't come to Planet Hollywood. And I was like, can I wait? Waited in the lobby. This is up by Columbus Circle. And this big dude, 6'7", 6'5", 350 pounds, comes out of this hallway and he goes, you Bert? I go, yeah. His name's Charlie Mack. He's a real dude. Mm. I go, yeah. He goes, downstairs. I'm like, oh my God, I'm about to fuck this guy too. Like, this is fucking, I'll let him go first, loosen me up for Will. I go downstairs. It is filled with black men. It's like 10 black dudes in a room, maybe as big as this, with a curtain around it and a folding table in the center. I'm like, I'm going to fuck these 10 black guys. Will Smith, you know he's bringing Jazzy Jeff. Charlie Mack, this is 13 black dudes I got to fuck. So I just sit there. I don't make eye contact, and I just don't say a word for like 10 minutes, and then Will shows up with fucking Jazzy Jeff, I swear to God. Shows up, and he's like, hey, this is Bert. And everyone turns. They walk towards me. I'm like, all right, I'll start sucking their dicks first. And then the curtains open, and there's a private movie theater, and we watched American Pie. And, yeah. At the end, Will goes, what did you think? I said, it was great. And he goes, no, what about the room? He says, what do you mean? He goes, the guys. I go, they're black dudes? And he goes, no. You said you were a hip-hop fan, man. That's Biz Markie. That's Kool Moe Dee. That's Big Daddy Kane. I'm like, oh, I could have fucked Biz Markie. And so, yeah. So, and then cut full circle, I have DJ Jazzy Jeff opening up for me in Philly at the Wells Fargo Arena. I got him. He is amazing. He does this 50 years of hip-hop that is fucking insane. I just saw Nas, Rakim, DJ Jazzy Jeff, Mos Def, I saw a bunch of them at this jazz festival. Holy shit, dude. They hit, and they all hit bangers. Like, they just hit bangers. And I was like, fuck, you forget how great live shows are, one, but hip-hop is. But who's good in hip-hop?
It's boring right now. I'm tuned into Morgan Wallen.
Yeah, Morgan Wallen's great.
Fucking amazing.
I think it's underrated how Will Smith, like, had massive songs without swearing.
It is.
That's so crazy. Was
he as big as, like, how big was Will Smith in the...
Oh, he's bigger than anything you can ever imagine. He redefined the path you took in hip-hop. I mean, before him, I mean, I would argue that Tupac wasn't doing what he was doing acting-wise until Will kissed that dude in Six Degrees of Separation. Am I right? Someone would have to know about this. But Will really allowed that lane of, like, yo, you can be in a sitcom, you can be an actor in movies. I mean, he really is the first movie star hip-hop guy, correct? I mean, he's the only one, right?
I think T.I.
Well, ATL, T.I. was in ATL, but I don't know. What else?
He's in a bunch of movies. Wasn't
the Common in every movie ever?
Common's in a lot of movies, but 50 he's never...
Cent.
But no, but they're never the movie star.
Yeah, yeah, not like at the same level.
Will was the movie star. I mean, he's one of the biggest stars probably we've ever had. Leo, I mean, like, Will's up there. He's not, and he carved that path by himself. I mean, with the help of, like, I think Quincy Jones kind of shepherded him through and, like, told him things to do. But he kissed a dude in a movie that was made for white people when the hip-hop community, and I would argue it still isn't 100% cool with it, but it was not cool with gay shit. He kissed a dude in Six Degrees of Separation and was like, fuck what everyone thinks. I'm gonna act. And that's like, that opened the doors for guys like Tupac to take big roles. I could be wrong about, but like, I don't think Poetic Justice was out at that time. And Tupac, for my money, is my guy. Like, that's, I was a big Tupac, two big Biggie. Like, those were, like, huge to me. And then older T.I., Trick Daddy, I mean, Uncle Luke, I don't know if you guys run into
I'm not going to lie, you're speaking a different language. It was
I think Biggie was a way better rapper than Tupac.
I could see that.
Tupac was like a fucking poet.
Tupac was a businessman, I think.
Yeah, Biggie was a way better rapper.
You hear those documentaries of Tupac going into the studio going like Tupac would have been one fucking hell of a YouTuber. If you watch a documentary about Tupac, he would get into the studio and be like, let's fucking go, guys. It's not fucking science here. Just start rapping. Fucking go. That works. Next one. Like, he just was like, they said he had a little bit of like this, I only got a limited time on this planet mentality, but he just put out content. That's what he did. I mean, he's got, posthumously, he had like 7 albums, and that's all just shit he just recorded. Like, he would just go in and create. I think he was just a creator, man. He would have been one hell of a fucking YouTuber. Is anyone YouTubers now?
Not really, no. Like, The platform is kind of ruined.
Yeah.
Because now everyone's just focused on the algorithm and doing shit to get people's, like, brainwashed brains to be locked into this content. And there's this barrier of separation, sort of like boxing, which is partially what I'm trying to fix in boxing, where it's the 99% of people are trying to be in the 1%. And the 1% makes all the money, gets all the brand deals, and are wealthy and have all the subscribers and just are getting bigger and bigger and bigger. But the 99% on YouTube now just can't compete because there's so much high production value, hundreds of editors, edited thumbnails, and it's just these videos with no soul. The only goal is to get views.
Yeah.
And they figured out the numbers and all the algorithms behind it down to a science. And it's really ruined the platform, honestly.
I have a hard time with the YouTube algorithm. I mean, even with Two Bears, and it's me and Tom's podcast. But Tom was like, you know, you can get more views if we change the thumbnail. And I just was like, I don't know, man. I just, like, there's like, and it's like, you got to do like a crazy face. And then the title's got to be Bert murdered a child. And then everyone's like, wait, he murdered a child? And part of me is like, that's not even what happened. But
yeah, it's all about clickbait. And then the first 30 seconds to minute of the video is just this overload of stimulation and
Yeah.
There's the argument on the other side of the conversation that it's like, no, like now the bar is set higher and, you know, there people are doing these amazing things.
It's not inspiring kids in the right way. Like yeah. when you were like huge on YouTube and it was like Rice Gum and you and like all these
other
people.
It was the best era.
It made me feel like, damn, like this is reachable and like it was the coolest thing in the world. Now I feel like it's like too like corporate, too like yeah,
it is.
It's like super.
There's literal funds getting behind these channels.
Yeah, oh yeah, of course.
It doesn't feel reachable, and it doesn't feel like something I'm inspired.
Well, there's no, for lack of better terms, there's no FOMO. Like when I watch videos of you guys living your life as an older dude, I'd go like, God damn it, I wish I could. Like, I don't really get that anymore. I go, oh yeah, cool. You have a set, and you're. I don't even know if they do podcasts sometimes. I think they just do clips of what a podcast would sound like if you said outrageous shit. Right? Like, I just watch people sometimes going, like, not even doing, like, a full podcast. They just clip out the thing that would be go viral.
Yeah, and it looks like they're on a podcast.
Yeah, it's and it really looks like weird, they're on a podcast. Yeah. There's no, like, I mean, that was the beauty of the back in the day. And not to sound like an old fucking man, but you go on Rogan and you didn't have, like, anything to talk about. Like, you didn't write things down. And now, and rightfully so, Rogan's the biggest fucking podcast in the world. People go with a set list of, like, I need to bring this up. I need to bring this up. I have these things to promote.
And we do that. But then you end up in this predicament where it's like, you either keep up with the Joneses and do what's working. Okay. Or we could do what we would like to do, which is just sit down and just shoot the shit with you for 4 hours straight and talk about whatever.
Fucking ever.
But then it's like you get left behind. And at the end of the day, people got to pay their bills. So it's this weird predicament you end up in where it's like, do you bend your art to business or do you just say, fuck it, I'm going to stay true to what I love and just hope that works out.
And now it's like walking that tightrope, which is like what I'm doing. It's like you kind of have to do both, which kind of sucks as a creator.
I think I'm gonna it sucks, but
another problem is YouTube is like demonetizing everything. If your channel's not like rated G or like PG, it's so hard. You can't get ads. You can't run a business. You're demonetizing. You're flagged here. You're said like everything's gone. No swearing. No none of this shit. So like. They're taking away just like the purity of each individual, and it's like being formed into this one funnel, and you have to either play by the rules or for a lot of people, like luckily I have a brand name that I'm undeniable, like I've been doing this for so long, but like for other people, man, like it's really tough.
I was saying this the other day, I can't imagine trying to break into comedy. Like if you're a young comic working this, watching this right now, man, I wouldn't do it.
Oh shit!
No, I wouldn't. It's too saturated. I got in when no one knew you could make a living doing comedy. I got into the gold rush of comedy. Like I got in when I'm doing arenas. I shouldn't do arenas. Like not that. Like there's like 10 of us doing arenas. There's never been an arena comic before. It was Dice. It was Dane. It was Steve Martin, and that made sense. They were the fucking greatest. Mm. And now it's like me, Tommy. Sebastian Schultz, Rogan, Chappelle, DL Hugh, like everyone, there's a lot. Chris Rock. I mean, you could throw a stick at a comedy club and you're going to hit an arena act. I remember sitting in a hallway and we were talking about our buses and it transitioned into private jets. Like what best? Like what are you? What midsize do you like flying the best? Mm. And that's comedy. That's comedy. That's just stand-up comedy. That never happened. The conversation used to be, swear to God, how do I get into the funny bone? Mm. And then now it's like, yo, I was talking to a comic the other day, and he's like, your stage setup, how much does it cost? What do you travel with? I travel with 5 tour buses. I have, it's like 1.7 for a month is what I pay for my stage. Like, it's such a huge business that if you're a fucking guy who just wants to make people laugh, you have to, one, negotiate the open mic scene, which is fucking insane. Just getting out of an open mic scene and getting to the next level is crazy. That's like little baby turtles have a better chance making it to the ocean, right, making it to deep water than an open micer does getting out of a comedy scene. Then you have to get into the clubs and surpass the drugs, alcohol, and pussy that'll be just at the comedy clubs every fucking weekend. And we haven't even got you into Hollywood yet. Now you got to go to Hollywood and try to pitch a show and see if you're actually likable. I mean, there are so many hurdles to get through that then you go, oh, you'd got to start a podcast. You got to have a social media presence. You got to have a social media team. Do you have a producer? Who's doing your content for you? Oh, by the way, your digital footprint needs to be this, and that's going to cost you $10,000 a month. Where's that $10,000 from? You're not getting it from stand-up. I mean, dude, I run a business, and I run a fairly successful business, and I am one of the biggest comics in the world, and I'm still going, like, I'm checking, making sure I'm paying my overhead. Like, it's crazy.
Is there, like, a side of that that's really cool that comedy has gotten so widely adapted?
Yeah. Don't get me wrong.
The problems that comedians face is, like, fucking which jets they're going to fly on. Is that's kind of fucking awesome.
Dude, we're sitting at the Gorge. I was the first comedy show at the Gorge. The Gorge is in Washington, in George Washington. It's a huge venue. Have you ever seen it?
That's where we're going, no?
Fucking epic. You're coming to the Gorge. Yeah. You're doing two nights. We're doing two nights.
Yeah.
We're doing two nights at the Gorge. First comedy show ever at the Gorge. Seats 32,000. We got probably 20 in there. It's all sitting in the infield, all into carved out rock, overlooking a huge gorge where the sun sets behind you. I'm sitting with Big J, Mark Norman, Andrew Santino. We're all these comics, the 10 of the funniest dudes I know in the world, and women. And someone just looks and goes, "We just tell jokes." Like, that's it. But comedy's at a place now where you're doing these arenas and 20,000 people are showing up just to see comedy. And it's insane. I think it says a lot about freedom of speech. I think it says a lot about people's sensibility. It says a lot about these things right here, these podcasts and their reach, and people's want to see something a little real and uncut and unfiltered. You know, it's what I say this as a group collectively, but it's one thing I dig about you is I do not think you think before you talk. And I love that.
No, not at all.
At all. I love that. Yeah. And people watching
trying to bring more out of him, because in real life, he's the most unfiltered person we've ever met.
Yeah.
And that's what's so
mind.
Incredible. And there is still an element where, like, on camera, he's a little bit fearful to, like, let that guard completely go.
Digital footprint.
And it really is the most beautiful thing about him.
This
that he
isn't Dancing with the Stars. No, no shade on that. But, like, Dancing with the Stars is, like, that's what they're offering as entertainment. Look, I have friends that work on that show. Mm. This isn't, no shade, but this isn't Fallon, where you're watching crazy cat tricks. And then you got to go, well, that was great. Thanks, Jane. I guess he didn't do the trick today, but maybe next time.
Yeah.
This is, like, let's just fucking talk. If it's really bad, if we say someone's name and does coke, we'll edit it out.
Yeah, sure.
And if you say something really fucked up, we'll edit it out. But let's keep as much wild shit and stay on that line.
And
stay
the
on
authenticity.
That yeah, try to be as real as possible. Yeah.
And dude, I think we're still trying to get there. We're still working on, like, fully getting to that.
Well, me
authentic.
Being like fully authentic, like, I would get canceled and shit, like, right away. So
I don't think you've been holding back.
I have.
I've been watching your. No, I've been watching your career. I can't imagine there's much.
If only you fucking
I have
knew.
Been holding the fuck back.
Well, then let me come down to a weekend in Puerto Rico where I get to see the other side.
Yes, let's do it.
And you can see people getting their haircut. Please, no.
Pull up the Puerto Rico man, Bert. It was amazing having you. Love you, man. Go check out all of his social medias, everything that he has going on. You got some shows coming up.
Yeah, I'm on tour, Tops Off World Tour. We're doing just arenas this year, beginning of next year, and then I'll probably go back to theaters before I get ready for my next special.
Click the link in the description. We'll put his tour tickets there. BS with Jake Paul. Subscribe, like, comment. We love you guys.
Let's
we'll see
go.
You again.
Look. I'm a rock star in real life. We was doing Grand Theft Autos, hitting licks, home invasions. It was a good night. Take the goods to the plug, then he bring us back by 2K. Feeling like a baller, see the Jordan on my shoelace. Nuketown, stepping off buses, hopping on fences. Call of Duty, me and my... We in the trenches, camping at the crib, playing true crime LA. San Andreas, nice, bumping ice cubes, good days. Such a 90s baby though. If we grind it, then we grind it. Man, I feel like Tony Hawk. And my homies got the iron, man, they feel like Tony Stark. And you better watch your head, cause it get wicked up the dark.